All right, dear ones out there in the world, wherever you are and wherever you're listening to this, greetings in the name of Jesus. Glad that you are here today. I want to talk about the body of Christ and how you are the body of Christ. And again, an extension of last week, how God's Spirit leads us into that. We're going to look at John 17, verses 20 to 26. And this is a prayer that Jesus is praying with and for his disciples. And then I'm going to take you over to the book of Ephesians to share another prayer at the tail end of this podcast that I think is a true extension of this prayer of Jesus. So here we are, John 17, 20 to 26. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. To which I say amen and amen. And I want you to know, I could have read all of 17. This is Jesus' longest prayer. It's a famous prayer that concludes with a kind of commissioning or graduation to these disciples. These are the words that you're hearing. Can you see Jesus with a graduation cap on saying, everybody move your tassels to the other side? He's praying them into the future. He's turning over his mission to the disciples and by extension to all believers who would come after them, even who would follow him then. Now, again, this section is promising the gift of the Holy Spirit that's going to dwell within people. They're not alone. And so this oneness that Jesus refers to is kind of that Trinitarian language, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus also knows the difficulties that these disciples will face when they cannot physically see him. And so he provides a steady and constant reassurance here, just pouring that over them. You're going to be all right. You got what you need. You're not going to be alone, all those things. Jesus is praying for the disciples, and because he's praying for them, he's praying for you today. How often have you paused to think about how it is that Jesus prays for you right now? I think that's so important. Jesus is still praying for you. He's praying that we would continue to love and keep his living word and to set our hearts on the mission that he was sent for. Jesus is addressing our fears right here in this section with words of peace, engaging the troubled hearts, and also working on the vision for how he will always come to us. Again, that he inbreaks and comes back toward us from the future and meets us on the way. So important to hold on to that vision. Now, the Holy Spirit in these sections is often referred to as the advocate, or in the Greek language, we'd say the word paraclete, which means one who is called alongside. Now, when we talk about Holy Spirit, how often have you considered that the Holy Spirit is alongside, accompanying you on the journey? The word paraclete or advocate can also be translated to mean helper or comforter, encourager, somebody who intercedes on your behalf. Again, all good words to get our minds around what it means to be filled with the Spirit, the one who comes alongside. Jesus is saying here that the Holy Spirit will be the one to teach and remind us of everything that Jesus has said and done. And so just think on all the times that we need to be reminded of who God is and what God's doing in the world. Clearly, the Holy Spirit is very busy, probably hyper busy in our lives. And so I think it's good here to stop and pause and reflect on what that looks like. Because Jesus is referencing this and pointing to it and encouraging us into it. The Holy Spirit is helping us on the way. And Jesus is praying to the Father and asking for unity amongst each other and with God. To be so identified with God means also to share in God's mission, to proclaim the word that will bring others into that same unity. How often have you experienced God's word as unifying or as causing division? But if God's hope is the word is unifying, how can we truly begin to bring that about in the here and now? As we consider life in our workaday world, a lot of us maybe live with a do-it-yourself mentality. And that do-it-yourself mentality, I mean, that's ingrained in so many pieces and parts, the puzzle of our life. But how would a description like that of do-it-yourself, how does that contradict what Jesus is trying to accomplish through his life and prayer in this text? Wow. That's big, isn't it? How does that contradict what Jesus is trying to accomplish through his life and this prayer? You don't do it alone. You're not an individual just fighting the good fight all by yourself. God so much wants to be with us that God sent God's Son to die and to be raised for us so that we may know that life and love will win. But how would we know that without God? Would we just count on ourselves, our own imaginations, our own visions? No. God is indeed showing us. And here we have Jesus praying for us in that kind of way. I think this is powerful. Well, as I talk about these things, one small teaching note that's important to hold on to as well is that we have this essence of the Trinity, right? Jesus referring to God and the Spirit and that they're one. Well, what is the Trinity? Along with other Christians, Lutheran Christians believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. We affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, which says that God is one, yet three persons. And these persons are traditionally described as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of the three sections of the Apostles' Creed confesses the activity of one person in the Trinity, right? I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We say that. Though the term Trinity, important note here, is not found in the Bible, it's based on biblical text upon which the church, the early church, after the New Testament was written, wrote this doctrine of the Trinity. And so you're seeing this in this section of John in particular. It's being lifted off the page, and the early church is trying to describe how this relational God works. But it can be confusing. Well, then what does it mean when we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit in the Apostles' Creed? It's important to note that there's this small confession that we make, but then there's a definition around what we mean by saying that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read that for you from a description in our small catechism, which is, again, a book that unpacks these beliefs or these biblical backgrounds. So when we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? It means I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. You can't do it on your own. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, the good news, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, the Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united with Jesus in the faith. In this Christian church, day after day, the Spirit fully forgives me and the sin of all. On the last day, he will raise me up and the dead and give me and all in Christ eternal life. And we say this is most certainly true. There's a description onto the description. And so for today, I ask you, how has the Holy Spirit shaped your life? What's the Holy Spirit doing in your life that is shaping and leading and calling you forward? How is the Holy Spirit equipping you in your faith? How are you understanding that gift that truly is alongside you in life? Because as Jesus prays for us that we would be unified, that we would live within his body, this points to a relationship that sustains and carries us, especially when we feel lonely, especially when we feel abandoned along life's way. And so I flip on over to Ephesians here that I want to end this podcast with today. And this is a prayer that was written for the readers. Maybe this is attributed to Paul. We're not quite sure, but we're saying that this is Paul's prayer here. And so this is the prayer for the readers that he wants them to carry with them. And I think as I read this, you'll see the tie-in to what I just read from the Gospel of John. He says, "Now for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses Christ's knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Hello, church. There it is. This prayer pointing to the power of the Spirit alive that can accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. So today, if we're doing things that are just in our own power, we're not dreaming big enough. If we think, well, what can we do versus what can God do in and through us, we've asked the wrong question, right? Our question falls short. We call upon the power of God through Christ and the Holy Spirit to do more than we can ask or imagine. Yes, this is love, and this is life, and this is what our hope is in. Wow. We got the Spirit. Yes, we do. How about you? We got the Spirit. Yes, we do. Let's call on that Spirit to be the body, the one body that shapes and changes lives in the world. All right. Stay thirsty, my friends.